This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Now, football has not always been just a beautiful game. It's about passion, national pride, a billion-dollar business, but increasingly, politics is coming involved. This week, the football world has been debating FIFA's controversial decision to suspend the automatic ban on United States striker Florian Balogun after reports that U.S. President Donald Trump personally appealed to FIFA President Gianni Infantino. The decision has sparked criticism from Football Association pundits and fans, raising serious questions about the independence of world football's governing body. Now, join with us on Zoom, is somebody who knows a thing or two about the beautiful game. He is Paulo Diaz. He's the head of audio innovation at Ultimate Media, broadcast creator, and one of South Africa's leading voices on business and culture of sport and media. Good afternoon, Paulo, and welcome to the Afternoon Brief.
Afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. So maybe just break it down for us. What actually happened here? Because I am a little bit confused as to what actually transpired and how Donald Trump, the president of the free world, got involved in this matter.
So one of the things we've been kind of wondering about this World Cup is that Donald Trump has been very, very quiet, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
So he hasn't popped up anywhere. He's been kind of like organizing UFC fights on the White House lawn and being told no. He's worried about USA's birthday, 250th birthday.
Yes, correct.
And then out of nowhere, he decides to get himself involved. So what happened is Florian Balogun got sent off in the game against Bosnia and Herzegovina. Red card, automatic suspension. That's how
one
it has
suspension.
Worked forever. Yeah, automatic. So and everyone takes it as such. Nobody kind of decrees it. It is what it is. The red card was a red card. I mean, you can debate it,
sure.
But you know, I mean, it was a dangerous tackle. And then Donald Trump puts in a call to FIFA president, the same FIFA president who gave Donald Trump the unanimous FIFA Peace Prize,
correct?
To say, well, this is not fair. He's our best player. You should let him play. And miraculously, FIFA find an article in their laws that allows them to make special dispensation and overrule red cards, which they never, ever, ever do. In fact, they've only done one since the 60s.
Wow.
But, you know, Donald Trump calls and things get done. And the brazen thing about it is if a conversation like this happens in the background or behind closed doors, like I'm pretty sure they do happen. But Donald Trump has been boasting about this for the past couple of days, about how he has intervened personally to make sure America have the best chance in the World Cup.
So is this showing us a lack of consistency? Because when I did a little bit of research earlier, there was a very similar tackle that Messi did in an earlier game in the tournament where he was not red carded and he didn't have any sort of suspensions looming over his name. Are we seeing a lack of consistency here from FIFA, or what is going on? Are they unable to apply the laws properly?
Yeah, I think so. There's kind of like two arguments here, or two stories here. Is the one is the lack of application of laws. I mean,
correct.
And I don't think you're ever going to get consistency in a game like football, where there's just too many dynamics at play. There's too many variances. There's too many personalities. The rhythm of games are different. You know, a tackle can happen in one side of the field. That's kind of innocuous if it happens in a more dangerous space. So I think those are kind of the things. And if you're a person, if you played football, you kind of understand that, and we don't want football to be so automatronic. I think we've seen some, decisions and things like that are less of the law, but not the spirit of the game.
Correct.
And I think you kind of got to give a bit of variance of that. What is frustrating is to go, there seemingly is one rule for one group of people, like Messi, and another rule for another group of people. And then those rules are then variable. So I think it just, you know, FIFA is facing a major credibility crisis at the moment. And this does not help it whatsoever.
So, you know, you're a person in the media. How does the media, their involvement make this, are they making this into bigger, like mountains to sand hills here? Or, you know, should we be actually focusing on stories like this? Or should we just, you know, let sleeping dogs lie? Like, what do you suggest in terms of that?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, anybody in the football media is very anti-FIFA. FIFA puts in, they are custodians of this game that we all love, this game that makes a lot of people a lot of money, and the people who doesn't make money, it makes them very happy. And we go, okay, you're supposed to run this game for us. And when you increasingly see FIFA make decisions that are so commercially led to the detriment of the game, that becomes very frustrating. And you've got to call it out. The problem is, though, is that football is such an amazing sport, and it's the perfect sport for sport washing. And this is why despots use it, because throughout this World Cup, there have been so many things that are wrong with it. But players are great, goals are great, games are great. You go, ah, you know what? This is why we love this game, and kind of allows these, you know, these maniacs to run it, you know, the way they want to, which is very frustrating as fans. Although I don't think fans would be able to run football better, and would probably make the same mistakes. But by rights, we should call it out. But ultimately, it gets sorted out on the field, because after all of that, the USA still get hammered 4-1 by Belgium, and I think the whole world was Team Belgium yesterday, because we were going, well, you know, that's football sorting itself out. And that's an amazing thing about football. Football will always win at the end of the day over anybody and any set of circumstances.
Good way of looking at it. Very good way. I wanted to ask you, actually, I'm so glad you brought it up, about sport washing. You know, when I was at school, this word didn't exist. I don't remember writing any essays or reading any stories or paragraphs where this word it was mentioned. What does it mean, and how is it such an important thing in day-to-day life?
I think, yeah, it's definitely come to prominence more latterly, in where you're seeing regimes who are less than desirable and don't have the best records in terms of human rights or in terms of worker rights, or in terms of LGBTQI rights. And they're using sport to kind of like change the perception of that country. Qatar has been accused of it. Saudi has been accused of it, of where they're going. You know, we have got a lot of really bad stuff in our country, but we're going to use golf or tennis or football or Formula One to change people's perception about the country. It's not really a new thing. I mean, it was used in the 1930s
in the Olympics.
In Italy. One of the Olympics there was used. No, not even the World Cup there was used as a way of showing Italian power. Hitler used it with the Berlin Olympics to show, you know. So it's not a brand new thing, but it's really come to prominence, I think, just because of the amount of money and almost the brazenness of which it's done now. And it is true. I mean, even Donald Trump is using it. The USA is using it 100% for, you know, kind of going, oh, we're this great country. Look at what we do. Look how welcoming we are to the world, when we actually have these like really terrible kind of like internal policies against people who don't match what we think an American should be.
Fascinating. I wanted to ask you, just maybe we can touch on this tournament. I know it's a much longer tournament, bigger tournament, 48 teams compared to 36 in the past editions, or actually, I mean, in the first order, it was much smaller than that. But what are your thoughts? How do you think it's been? Do you like this new format? Is it going to stick? Is it going to stay like this? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
When I catch up on sleep, I'll be able to give you like a formulated answer on that, because every night I'm kind of like, no, I'm not going to watch the 2 o'clock game. Forget it. And then my brain wakes me up and says, okay, you got to watch your 2 o'clock game. You know what? Again, it's another thing that we go, you know, us as football commentators, football fans, we know everything. It's worked out. It's so great. Some of the best stories in this World Cup, Cape Verde, Curaçao, some of the smaller African teams, they've been such great stories, and they wouldn't be in this World Cup if it wasn't expanded. So you kind of got to go, okay, well, that worked out. The format of games, the change in rules to manage the amount of games has really been, some of the best stuff has come out of this extended tournament, the great storylines. So again, FIFA sport washed, it worked. Football won at the end of the day, because even all common logic goes, this should not work. And it has. And the storylines have been great, and the football has been great. And there's been no drop off in quality. I mean, you're kind of going into the last few teams now, and everyone is going full guns. So that's fantastic. It's definitely yet to stay. And don't be surprised if it gets bigger. I mean, you know, it's in our lifetime, I reckon we're going to see a 64 team World Cup very soon.
I didn't know that was on the cards, but that sounds fascinating. I wanted just to ask you two more questions before we wrap up. It's not really on the agenda, but I actually wanted to ask you quickly about Ronaldo. I know he's probably his career has come down. The curtains on his career have come down. Where to from here for him?
Oh, this is the story I've been asked all day, because obviously I'm Portuguese.
That's why I wanted to ask.
Ronaldo has given us some of the greatest moments, and it was actually, this tournament was quite sad watching, because this is how he's going to be remembered. Yeah. And people don't like Ronaldo. They don't like the histrionics. They don't like the Portugueseness in him, because Ronaldo acts like every single Portuguese person I know. And they don't like that. And it's so sad to see this amazing legacy of a player who will go down, I think, with the kind of, you know, passing of time, is one of the greatest ever. And to kind of see him handled it well and use him as a scapegoat, because it's an easy scapegoat. I still think Ronaldo's going to carry on playing. He wow. won't go anywhere.
Amazing.
Where he's recycling organs or blood or something somewhere. We haven't seen the last of him, but it was quite.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. See, the internet is a little bit patchy at the moment. I don't know if it's our side or your side, but we are going to try to wrap up in the next minute or so. I just wanted to quickly ask you before you go, how do you see this the rest of the World Cup panning out? Who's the favourites? I'm asking you to put on your Notre Dame's hat here. I know predictions are always hard, but how do you see this panning out? Oh, have we lost him?
Yeah, sorry about the connection there. I think we're sort of...
Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think I'm sorted now. Basically beat France, win the World Cup. I think that's the
required
logic. Yeah. I don't see anybody kind of getting better than.
Okay, Paul, I think we got the gist of it there, that you think that France is going to win. Unfortunately, the internet line is a bit patchy, but we did get the general gist of that. Fascinating interview. Thank you so much for your thoughts and your insights there about what's going on in the World Cup. And has football entered a new era of political influence? Very, very interesting conversation. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. Always a pleasure to have you on Chai FM. That was Paulo Diaz, who is the head of audio innovation at Ultimate Media, a podcast creator and one of South Africa's leading voices on the business and culture of sports and media. Thank you so much for your time on Chai FM.